the DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome on and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in with me, your host Brendan Devaney, this evening. Coming up on the show later on, we're going to hear from Maureen O'Donnell around the Ladies Club Championship scene. We're going to hear from Aaron Kiernan after Tyrone's impressive 4th All-Ireland victory on Saturday. But first up, we have a man that knows a bit about the club scene here in Donegal. It is the one and only Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, how are you this evening?
Very good, Brendan. Thank you.
You're keeping well. Brendan, listen, getting straight to it. Yesterday, I have to admit, I got my timing a bit off for this Kilcare-St Unions game. We were out with a big day watching All-Ireland final there. And I got up and I Googled the match, of course, not realising it was pulled forward. So I'm going to have to just get your expert opinions on the game, Brendan. And St Unions 112-114 defeat to Kilcare.
Yeah. Well, listen, Brendan, I suppose I was used to carrying you back in the day when we played together with the St. Junan, so I'm happy enough to carry this through too. So, excellent win for Kilcare yesterday out in the park. Very, very funny game from the point of view, Brendan. I was really impressed with St. Junan's in the first half. They played really well. They led by 5 points at halftime. They were playing with great wit. They were dominating both kickouts. And they were just looked so superior to Kilcare at that stage that, you know, you were speaking to people at halftime and you would say it was hard to see a way back for Kilcare. Unions, you know, it started off the first quarter was nip and tuck. It was point for point, really. And then Unions pulled away in the second quarter, thanks mainly to a Owen McGeehan goal. Like, he's prolific at goal scoring. Every time you kind of watch him play, he seems to find the net for Unions, and he took his chance really well after a super bomb of a kick out from Sean Patton that was won by Sean McGettigan in the middle of the park, and he laid it off to Kieran Tobin, who I thought had a fine game for St. Unions, and his quick hands found Owen McGeehan inside the Kilcare rear guard, and he slotted it really well under the Kilcare goalkeeper. But Second half, Kilcare came out, and, you know, within a few minutes, that 5 point lead was down to a 1 point lead. Patrick kicked a free, and then the penalty came. Now, I didn't get a proper look at it. I thought it was harsh, but to be fair to Patrick, he buried it, and suddenly game on. And the whole energy of the game changed with that score, I feel, Brendan. From the point of view, Union seemed to drop the head, and Kilcare just really pushed on and played some fantastic football. They began to pick up every break around the middle of the field. There was 4 kickouts in a row that they were getting bodies under the break and coming forward at pace. And another big factor too was the switch for Ian McHugh from centre half back and played him more advanced in the second half. And it kind of did make a big difference, like so it did. He seemed to give them a bit more scope up front. And along with that, Matthew McLean kicked absolutely 4 absolutely superb points in the second half, one better than the previous kind of thing. And just Kilcare were getting so much energy from this, and you could see the deflation and the body language on the Unions lads wasn't good. And it's concerning for Unions, Brendan, from the point of view, you know, they were in positions to beat these big teams. We talk about the big 4 in Donegal, and, you know, Unions were in a brilliant position to close out Naomh Connell last year's semi-final, if you recall, and they kind of let it slip. And the same yesterday, they were in a good position and they just didn't do enough to get across the line. But again, you have to give huge credit to Kilcare for the way they grounded out, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, would it be a thing, Brendan, of, you know, first game scenario in the championship? Should we not read in too much there, or would you have those concerns for St Unions that, you know, when it comes down to it, they're just maybe a small bit off the other top sides that are there?
I think I would be more concerned if it was Kilcare probably yesterday. You know, if they had taken a loss yesterday, I think it wouldn't have mattered too much for them. I think they'd recover. And I think Unions will recover. And, you know, they have a tough draw the next day. They have to go down to the Burn Road, but you still expect them to beat Termon down there. And yeah, it is the first game, but Unions have to start to learn to find a way to win these close encounters, Brendan. That's my point. And, you know, they need that leadership and that experience. And it appears to be lacking somewhat from what I've seen in them in these big games. Now, you know, I'm hoping that they can come out and answer them kind of queries that are over their ability to manage games and get across the line. But It's concerning, and they totally disappeared in the second half yesterday when Kikar got the upper hand. And, you know, we saw Tyrone on Saturday, Brendan, they find a way, and the Dubs in their prime find a way. And just Unions didn't find that yesterday. They didn't get that spark when they needed it. It was lacking throughout the team, and wasn't for lack of, you know, I remember looking out at the pitch at one time, and I commented on the commentary with Oshin when we were doing it, and Unions had broke, they turned over Kilcara at one stage, and I counted six or seven Unions players between the 265s in the middle of the field that didn't push up to try and get involved in the attack, and that didn't show the urgency to try and get at Kilcara at that stage. And all the Kilcara players had got back to defend, but six or seven Unions players stood within a group nearly in the middle third. And that to me isn't acceptable. In senior championship football, you have to go for it. And I don't feel that Unions in the second half gave a good account of themselves, to be honest, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, well, certainly John McNulty went home the happier man with that victory. Lots of work for Rory Cavanagh. They got stuck in there, and we heard from both men after the game. This is what they had to say.
John McNulty, turned out to be a good day here at the O'Donnell Park for Kilcare. Five down at half-time, but just really stepped it up in the second half and were deserving winners in the end here.
Brilliant performance in the second half, but it hit the whole team. Man-to-man was just excellent. First half, we were sluggish and we were kind of off the pace, you know, and we kind of addressed a few things at half-time and went back out in the second half, and attitude was much better, and we really, 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 really played well.
Yeah. Listen, five down at the break, you maybe could have been further behind given the St Union's wide count. What was going on in that first half, John? Maybe given everything that was going off the field, that maybe it had an impact and it took a while for the players maybe to settle down?
I think no, because I mean we've probably put that to bed ourselves, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're just focused on this 21 championship full stop, but I think maybe just 3-4 weeks since the last game has probably had an impact on it. You know, when you're coming to a place like St Union's, you know, they're a very good team, and they were gung-ho for it in that first half and really played some very good football. So I think it just took a bit of time to find their feet.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really where we were at, and then we regrouped at half time, and I mean in the second half performance every man performed very, very well.
Yeah. Once he's got that penalty, and once the ball nestled into the back of the net, you just got a real lift of that. So you did. What was your view on the penalty, John?
It's kind of hard. I didn't really see it too well, but I couldn't really call him because I was a bit far away from it.
Yeah.
But the ref gave it, so I'll take it.
Yeah, but it sprung you boys into life, and particularly Patrick. Like Patrick ended the game with what, 1-7 was it today? And when you look at the likes of Matthew as well, who finished up with 5 points and kicked three super scores in the second half as well. Your big players stepped up when it was needed, John.
I think so. I think the whole team stepped up in that second half when it was needed, and it was needed because, as I say, that first half we weren't at the races with Unions in the first half, and they probably kicked a lot of more wides in the first half than maybe if they'd put a few more, should have been a few further ahead at half time.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to say that performance the second half now is Stanford's going into the next championship game.
Yeah. Listen, I know you don't want to say too much as to what's going on with the 2020 final, and that saga is ongoing, what's happening off the field, but is it easy to get them refocused now for 2020, the 2021 championship, and I suppose try and get back to a final again and try and get this Dr. McGuire?
I definitely is, because I think you would see that in the second half today. I mean,
yeah,
the focus is fully there. There's no doubt these boys want to be back in a county final, and that's where we're aiming to be. But we have to take each game as it comes, you know. Yeah. That's all we can do.
Yeah, and a mighty start today. You can't get any bigger than a one over St Unions, I suppose.
Well, it was a big one for us today to come up here and get the 2 points. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's 2 points to get you through to the quarterfinals, and that's all it is. And we have to keep working at things to make sure we're there.
Rory Cavanagh, things was looking good at half time, 5 point up against Kilcare. But the second half just didn't happen for you. Can you explain it maybe now in the minutes after the defeat there?
No, it's tough. I mean, we're in a good place at half time, Oisin, and I think we're 4 or 5 points up. And, you know, I think the penalty psychologically did affect us. You know, we started to take a few wrong options, and Kilcare grew into the game. I think their experience then showed in the end, like big players stood up, you know, and took big scores. But look, we'll have to go away, lick our wounds now, and assess where it actually did go wrong, and you know, and regroup, because look, it's the first game of four now, and we have to get back in the horse fairly quickly.
Yeah, because it is a big kick in the teeth to you guys from where you were in that opening half. We just maybe assess the first half. There was lots of positives there, and St Unions were playing probably some of the best football that they've played all year.
Aye, look, we were very pleased with how we were playing. I suppose the only maybe disappointing thing was we felt that there was two or three occasions where we could have clipped on more scores and we actually could have been further out ahead. But look, that was probably nitpicking because I thought we were pretty dominant in a lot of sectors in the first half. But, you know, at the same time, it's a 60-minute game now, you know, and we have to look at that as to why we didn't really kick on in the second half, and that'll just have to be assessed in the coming days.
What was your thoughts on the actual penalty? Now, from we were in the press area, we couldn't see it clearly enough. Some thought that maybe it was a bit soft. You were further on down the field again, Rory, so what was your take on it?
We were down the other end of the pitch, so look, I know one of our defenders got slipped by Paddy and he seemed to go in along the end line, but I don't think the actual foul was on Paddy. I think it was on another Kilcare player. Was it Ryan?
Yeah.
So look, it was... Listen, I couldn't even comment on it because it just seemed there was bodies crossing our eye line, so I didn't really see it, Oisín. But it was a big moment, certainly, and you know, Paddy slotted it away, and Kilcare really grew into the game then, you know. But we'll have to look at why we probably turned the ball over quite a few times in that second half, because we were in a position of strength in the first half, you know.
Yeah. Listen, it's not straight knockout football, so you do have several other chances to make the quarter final. Will it be much of a task now to lift the boys, will it, Rory, after a defeat like that?
Look, it's we have to go away and recover now. That's the important one. And I suppose we have a week now to recovery, and we will assess where it went wrong. But look, I've been involved in many campaigns as a player, Oisín. You know, I remember going down 2007 against Glenties in the first round. They put five goals against us, and we were staring down the barrel after losing two county finals, and we managed to regroup. So listen, that's the challenge now that's facing this team, you know, and we got to regroup now, and we got to see where it went wrong and be honest with ourselves. Just be honest with ourselves and say, listen, that wasn't good enough in the second half, because we have plenty of football yet to go, you know.
Yeah, good to hear from the two lads here. Brendan, just looking across the rest of the senior championship there, you know, this tag has come on Glenswally about being a championship team, and they certainly proved that away to Killybegs. An impressive win for them, 113-107.
Yeah, brilliant win for the Glen men down there, you know, to go away to Killybegs. Now, you know, there is the caveat there that Owen Bann, I think, went off injured in the first half, and I think Huey went off at 10 or 15 minutes to go. But by all accounts, it appeared that Glenswilly dominated the game. And of course, Michael Murphy coming in with 4 points, Kevin Marley with 1-2, and then Copper with 3 points. So, you know, familiar names doing the business for Glenswilly, and they just they found a way to get a result, and you have to admire that about them. They're resolute, so they are, and you know, it'll be concerning from a Killybegs point of view, because they'd be looking to step on from progress that they are making and have made in the last couple of years. But them two players are so key to them. When they're not on the field, you have to feel that they're, you know, they're fighting an uphill battle, Brendan.
Yes. And Mahara Gallen, yesterday Gador cruised to a victory over Milford, 421-27. We got some feedback. Actually, Tom Comack was speaking with Darrell Boyle after the game.
It's good to get back. Nice to get the crowd behind us here too, down in Mahara Gallen. Really pushed us on today, and listen, you could only play while I was in front of us, and Milford did put it up to us the first two quarters there, and we just kept the pressure on and broke out then, probably in the second half.
Yeah, well, really, you tore into them from the word go on your pace. You know, a lot of your scores came from the back or building from the half-back line.
That's it, yeah. It's, we have a lot of pace in the team, and you're the likes of Wee Nishi and Keane Mulligan flying through there. Their boys are hard to spot. Stop, especially in a pitch as big as this, and it's something we kind of work towards and kind of works for us today.
Yeah, you were a good place at half-time. You were well up. They got a couple of goals, though, from penalties.
Yeah, listen, we were a bit disappointed with our discipline there going into this half-time. We were down two men, like, and knew it was going to be a battle in that third quarter. It was going to make or break the game, but gladly the boys kind of dug us out of the hole, and it's glad to see the boys that came back on and the boys that came off the bench, like wee young Finnan and Gary coming back on, put in big shifts when they came onto the pitch.
Yeah, and you played the most of the second half, all of the second half, with 14 men.
That's it, yeah. So it's
sent off, unfortunately.
Yeah, Oren will have to have a wee word with Oren now. That's a few games now. He's the lack of discipline, but surely that'll come with the matches now, and we'll take it as it is and forget about it for now, I think.
Yeah. A disappointing season last year. I'm sure you're dying to get back at it this year, are you?
Yeah, listen, it was a long winter there after the loss we had last year against Kilcare, but we had a few run the games in the league coming into here now, so it's brilliant to finally get back into the club and having the people down around us and getting to play with your mates again. It's a brilliant feeling.
Yeah, because it was tough going there for a while during the early part of the year when the COVID lockdown was on, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of stop start there at the start of the year, and of course every bit forward, but gladly now we're getting on the roll. Like every club's have the role of training and clubs now, and so hopefully it'll stay like that.
Yeah, and obviously you have big targets for the year, but quarter final is the first one, I'm sure.
That's it. We're looking towards St. Michael's now in 2 weeks, so that's our next big stepping stone, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, another good victory for Gudore. Moving along nicely. We're wondering what they're going to come up with this year. Brendan Hart is supposed to read into that game, but certainly, you know, new management and of course Maxi and coaching them as well.
Yeah, listen, they put up a big score. I wouldn't be reading too much into it from the point of view like Milford are struggling at senior level. We saw the hammering that St. Junan's handed them out last year in the championship. And again, you know, the go down to Marigallen, it's a tough ask for them, so it is. And Gidor put up 421 on the board, Oran firing on all cylinders, kicking 7 points with Keane Mulligan. Good to see him in a bit of form, kicking 1-4. But listen, we know the quality that Gidor have, Brendan, and we expect them to be there or thereabouts. It's just about getting a bit of momentum going for them, because they didn't have the best league campaign of all time kind of thing. You know, they struggled in games in the league. And, you know, they'll be anxious now. They were short a lot of players, and you can see that a lot of them are coming back, despite the fact they were short the two McGees, I think, yesterday. But it'll be a good confidence booster for them after going through a difficult league. And it's just tough times for Milford, so it is, you know, to be shipping beatings like that in senior championship isn't good. And it'll be worrying for them. And so they have a big game coming up in 2 weeks' time to try and recoup some of that confidence.
Yes, McNeely's man of the match, 7 points, 1-3. I would say there's a few tasty scores kicked in that one with that wand of a left foot. Just look at our draw, Bundoran. Brian, a lot of people were saying Bundoran were the team that, one of the teams that maybe could crack the top four when it came to it. They've been a long way off when it comes to that crunch championship game, but there's something about our draw. You know, they seem to really hit rock bottom, but they seem to be small signs that they're starting to get a team together and just aging out Bundoran yesterday, 110-26.
Yeah, and I suppose, listen, our draw, they're next door neighbours and Nave Connell, who have ruled the roost at senior level for the last couple of years, Brendan, and I'm sure they're kind of getting sick listening to their noisy neighbours taking all the credit, and they'll be really happy. Big win for them, as you correctly says. Bundoran are one of the teams we thought might step up and challenge the top four. They don't seem to be doing that. Now, I do think they were short Jamie Brennan yesterday, who obviously is a big player for them. But you look at our draw and the likes of Connor Classen, CJ Malloy, Thomas Boyle, they're the kind of leaders of this team, and they have some good young players coming through. So they'll be delighted with that win. It's a massive win for them. They have had tough times down there in recent times. So, you know, ultimately, Brendan, you're back to the big four of Nave Connell, Kilcar, Gidor and St. Junan's, and you're looking who are the teams that are going to push up on them. And we, as I said there, Bundoran would have been fancy to do that, but they haven't really made that step up. And, you know, now where I'm kind of looking, can McCool's be the team or St. Michael's be the team to press into that? And that'll be an interesting game coming up next weekend. So it will, you know, McCool's, you know, I think you were down there in Marigallen last year, Brendan, where McCool's were very unfortunate not to come away with a result against Gidor. So, you know, it's up to them type of teams, but it's hard, you know, it's hard for the other teams. It's hard to visualize any of them really pressing this top four this year. So it is, they just seem to be that bit ahead of them.
Yes, yes. And Brendan, there's an interesting intermediate championship kicking off. You know, Niamh Wara beating Red Hughes 110-10. Interesting result. Niamh Columba, who were very close to making the final last year with a real statement down in Clonmacnoise, of course, which lost back-to-back finals. Even though they played the game with 14 men for the majority of the match, they still come out 113-13 points. And they're a bit of a comeback from an area with a rich history of football.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see them back and to see them come back up, if possible, even to senior level. It's a long trip for a lot of people, but we know the tradition they have. We know what they did back through the 80s, 90s, and they've kind of been off the scene since. So massive win to go down to them to Fulcar and take that victory. So it was. And, you know, looking at some of the other results, we see Dunloe, you know, who are in senior championship for a lot of years and just slipped out of it. And they put up a massive score against Nave Breach, 519, I think they scored. And, you know, the other big result I'm looking at here is Buncrana who had a fairly comprehensive victory in their local derby with Burt. So some interesting games. And, you know, looking across a lot of the games, a bar two or three of them that seemed to be well-contested. Fannet Gaels travelled to Convoy and came away with a good win. And they've had some tough duels with Convoy down through the years. So they'll be happy with that. And, of course, Mallon then beating Nave Ulton away kind of thing too. So, you know, some big, big results there. So there is. But as Brendan, you may...
Would you read it? I'm just thinking about Dunno. They obviously hammered Neve Breed 5-19 to 1-10. Would you get the feeling? I know it's first game, whatever, Brendan, do you think Dunno are thinking, right, we should still be in the senior? You know, if this is obviously a big year for them, they would obviously need to win the championship and come back to where they belong again. But an encouraging first victory for them.
Oh, a big, big victory for them. And, you know, they'll be putting in a big effort to get back up there. This is a new Dunlow team. Like, we were all familiar with the Dunlow team of the last kind of 15, 20 years, but there's a lot of young fellas coming through now. So there are. And I know there are a few more in the pipeline through minors and that will be coming through in the next couple of years. So again, they're another team that have a good history down there. We know what they're about. And they'll be pushing hard. But this intermediate championship, you know, it's very open. You're looking at Clohanealy, Nave Columba, you're looking at Buncrana, Dunlow, of course. Like, you know, so there's a lot of teams there that'll fancy themselves. And I didn't mention too, Nave Wirra had a good win in the Banks against Red Hughes too. So, you know, there's a lot of teams there that will fancy their chances. But you mentioned, Brendan, you know, this is the first week and a lot of these teams haven't played a huge amount of football. It's been a disrupted league. So, you know, I think we'll see an even and out over the next few weeks kind of thing. And, you know, they're getting four games in the championship and that'll sort of test them to see where they're at. But I expect it to get very competitive over the next few weeks as the real questions begin to be asked and teams are trying to hit top eight or avoid bottom eight and that. So there'll be some titanic tussles over the next few weeks for us to look forward to.
Thankfully, and hopefully everything just does run along and run smoothly, Brendan. Junior Championship there, I'm just looking, the beaten finalist of last year, Downing's their match was postponed against Oris. Now, Rossa had a good one over Maville with 10 points to spell. Kieran Donna had a big one over Neve Colmkill, 217-26. Neve Patrick Muff beat Pedigo, 313-13. And just looking at Unions there, played their first game in that competition and a good one over Robert Emmett's. It's been called a development team. I was just looking, reading. I wonder, is that a title that's been put on them? But that was interesting, with Unions putting in a foresight into a competition.
Yeah, it was. And it's good to see if they have the players, they should be getting them out and getting football into them. And I just saw a photo of the team and I was trying to zoom into it. It's a very young looking team. So it is, you know, I noticed Cormac Finn and a couple of other with a bit of experience in there, but a very young team. And, you know, it is good that St. Junans are putting in that team if they feel the players are there. We know the numbers they've out there and it's important to be getting these lads football. So they'd be happy to get a good start in that competition, Brendan.
Yeah, surely, Brendan. Great stuff. Well, listen, Brendan, round up. We're going to be dipping in and out of all the championship as it goes on. Brendan, have you any tips, early doors for winners in the senior championship? Who would do your thoughts be on for taking the title at this early stage?
I find it hard to look past Niamh Connell. I know they didn't play this weekend, but I just think the depth of their squad, and we saw that how crucial that is when Tyrone are able to spring the players. They have sprung off the bench on Saturday. Niamh Connell have great depth to their squad, the players that they can bring in that will impact the game. And they just are so resolute and tough that they are really difficult to beat. Even when you think you have Niamh Connell by the throat, they just find a way to wriggle out of it. But again, Kilcar's second half performance, maybe there was a legacy of the previous county final and the first 30 with them yesterday. And I was wondering where they were at, but great credit to them, the way they came out in the second half and turned that game around. Can Gidor get back to the level they were at a few years ago, Brendan? Can they instill that belief? And, you know, Gidor, a team that if they get momentum, they will be hard to beat, and that will give them a lot of confidence to get the first win on the board. And of course, St. Junans then will have to pick themselves and dust themselves up after yesterday. But, you know, there's no doubt the winner is coming from them. But if I were forced to make a pick, I would have to say Niamh Connell would be favourites, and I think justifiably so.
Top stuff, Brendan. As ever, great roundup, my man. Thanks for that, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, Davey. Talk to you. Bye bye.
Take care. Yeah, that was Brendan Kilcoyne there. Always great to get his views on the club scene here in Donegal. And now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have on former Armagh star, now top pundit, Aaron Kiernan, just to shoot the breeze over Tyrone's emphatic victory Northern Ireland final on Saturday. Aaron, how are you this evening?
All's good, Brendan. How are you?
Good man, Aaron. The very best. Listen, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Aaron, in the last couple of weeks I've been doing the G-era with you. It's been very enjoyable. We've been making a case for who was going to win or lose this final, Aaron, and really there was nothing in it, or there wouldn't be anything in it, and we kind of got that completely wrong. What happened? Was it the brilliance of Tyrone, or did Mayo let us down, or was it a bit of both?
Yeah, it was. I'm starting to question my own thought process in terms of Gaelic football here, and I'm wondering, as a neutral, did I maybe just get caught up in the whole Mayo have to win one, or how much we'd love to see Mayo win one, and did we, suppose, have an oversight on the reality of what it takes to win all Irelands, and that is generally the team with the best forwards wins them, and that definitely was the case at the weekend. We have, I suppose, for 10, 12 years, we've really admired Mayo football, their players, their heart, their energy, their drive. But I think whenever, particularly you take Killian O'Connor out of that team, the pressure, the intensity that Tyrone was going to bring to it the other day, they just simply didn't have the forwards that were capable of putting the ball over the bar or taking the goal opportunities that presented themselves. And to be fair to Tyrone, very similar to their great team of the Noughties, they just were full of belief. They did not think they were going to lose that game, no matter what happened. Even if the penalty had gone in, do you know what? I think they would have just had enough self-belief and enough doggedness to still turn it around and see it out. And I suppose they're sitting there, the envy of every county in Ireland at the minute.
Yeah, you have a newfound love for Tyrone. I can hear it coming through there.
It's just jumping out of me.
Aaron, do you know what's strange about that? Now, you know, Aaron, you look at their record in finals, right? 17 finals, lost 14 of them. It's now, and I know those finals, of course, somewhere way in the past, aren't anything to do with this team, but isn't it a real strange thing in sport that someone can keep getting to a final, which means that they're technically the second best team in Ireland, or, you know, by and large, they should be in the top three. You know, let's say one of the other better teams was beaten in the other semi-final, for example, but they're certainly in that mix. So to be so close continually, you know, I think after this one, Aaron, I think they went away with a lot of respect from the Dublin games and that, because everybody seen Dublin as so far ahead, and Mayo was the only team to put it up to them, and they always were like, right, you know, they're the second best, but the only team that could maybe give Dublin the game. I think this final's very different in terms of, you know, if you look at it really, Aaron, there's only really maybe Keegan, Donoghue, maybe Cohen played well out of the whole starting 15. That must be bitterly disappointing for them and for all the Mayo support.
It is, like, it's a good way of looking at it. Like, in years gone by, you might have reached a final, you know, before your backdoor games, before your quarterfinals were depending on what way the draw fell. You know, it was only your four provincial champions meeting. In times gone by, maybe Ulster Connacht might not have been great and Mayo might have snuck to a final that way. But it's absolutely not the case now, you know, because you have your backdoor, you have your qualifiers, you have you had your Super 8. So they have had to show a serious level of consistency, and they have had some super footballers who will go down as generational players or some of the best players ever to play for Mayo. But you're right, the weekend, just as the second half wore on, there was absolutely only one winner. Like, you just couldn't see them coming up with the scores that was going to be needed. And I know I listened to a lot of the narrative around it, and some of the Mayo ones is like, you know, we just didn't take the chances that were presented to us. They didn't kick with any confidence or conviction at all. The boys who shot, and hand on heart, they didn't think they were going to shoot. They were kicking in pure hope, where Tyrone was conviction. Tyrone were everything they did, it was with intent. And even you just go back to Kilpatrick's catch, McKenna off his shoulder at pace, and he wasn't thinking about putting that ball over the bar. He was looking to finish that game. He looked up, he seen McCurry was making the break, he carried it perfectly. The execution of the fist pass, the trajectory of it, put McCurry with a simple palm into the back of the net. At no stage did you think, with all the talk of the Mayo running pair, and I'm the one who talked them up as well, as did many others, you never seen them having that cutting edge that they were going to do that the other day.
Yeah. And, you know, just come back to that composure, because people have talked about the goal chances, right, Aaron? And the conviction, I think, on them, and some of the points from play as well. The penalty, of course, the same thing. But just O'Shea's chance in the first half, did that sum up a lot, the way that opportunity presented itself and how he hit the ball, Aaron, it didn't look like, as you said there, that lack of that cutting edge conviction, which Tyrone seemed to have in spades, they were on a different level yesterday. And I was just thinking, Aaron, just about what you said there about pre-match. If you looked at Mayo's season, really, very poor first half against Galway. When they get on a run in Galway, and obviously Galway are, they're a top, they're a Division One team. They did unlucky to get relegated, maybe, but you know they're not all Ireland contenders. The game against Dublin, obviously, when Dublin played like Dublin, they completely destroyed Mayo. I think we just got caught up in the whole that second half performance, and we probably forgot about all the issues that were in that Mayo team and squad. And Tyrone completely exploited all them. And I suppose the big thing we talked about midfield in particular, I mean, Kilpatrick and Kennedy, like completely dominating that. And for a few years there, Aaron, you know, when Colm Kavanagh retired and that seemed a big, big issue. And that, those two players standing up and really taking control at midfield, we didn't see that coming in the game yesterday. And that's where, in around that middle where we thought Mayo with Loftus and with Ruan and with maybe O'Shea dropping out there, they'd have too much power for them. Tyrone just didn't let that happen. They bossed every sector of the pitch.
But that's what's so admirable about that Tyrone win, Brendan. Do you know, we like one, I think my punditry skills need to be called into question here, because you're right, I got carried away with the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah,
we all did.
I overlooked some very, very important information of why we are so bad for 60, 65 minutes. But Conn Kilpatrick, Brian Kennedy had never played to that level before. What Kilpatrick did against Cavan in the first game, okay, but they'd never played to it. And look what they did in the biggest games of their lives, whenever they are under the most pressure, and look what they can do. And that's what's so disappointing about Mayo. You're going like boys who have played in 6-7 All-Ireland finals and can't perform and didn't perform. Yeah. I just don't understand it, do you know? Yeah. Maybe it is the weight of expectancy or thinking that this was the one. Maybe it might have been as bad if it had been Dublin or Kerry, because it's nearly a free shot for them in All-Ireland finals, where this one, they were expected to go and win it. It was there for them to go and win it, and they couldn't do it. And yet boys who everybody was questioning all over the country can turn up and put the biggest performance that they've ever put in a Tyrone Sheehan jersey whenever it matters the most. And that's, you know, from them ways, like, that is absolutely top class to be able to do that there whenever it's the pressure is at its most for you. But that's what's so disappointing. But you asked about the Aidan O'Shea effort, and I have said it before, like, I've only met him a few times off the field. I can't remember, I don't think I've ever played him on the field, but he's a huge, huge man. Yes. Massive. He's as big a player as there is in the country. He had Ronan McNamee scrambling for a last ditch tackle. How could he not have the composure to steady himself with a bounce and get his right arm, or take a bounce in the left hand, get his right arm across McNamee and throw him out of the way, step across his path and put himself clean through one on one? It was a half-hearted attempt at I don't even think it was a goal attempt, at tapping it over the bar. And he got blocked. Now, credit to McNamee. Super last-ditch defending, bravery, getting down it. But why would he not just take him on? He was physically bigger and stronger, and McNamee was scrambling. He was there to be thrown out of the way because he was off balance, because he was making a last-ditch tackle. That's the difference. You put McCurry in that position, you put Matty Donnelly, Dara Canavan, anybody, that's a goal.
Yeah.
And yes, we're talking about another Conor Gormley block. It wasn't a Conor Gormley block. Conor Gormley was blocking one of the greatest goal finishers that we've seen in years, and possibly the greatest forward that I've ever had in Stephen McDonald. That's different. That was somebody who, that ball was hitting the back of the net in 03. The other day, he blocked a man who was going for a pint whenever a gilt-edged goal opportunity was there. And that's what makes the difference between your top forwards and the rest.
Yes. And just, you know, we know about the season that Myler and McGeary had. I mean, that point of McGeary's in the first half, I mean, that's something that you would maybe try at training and think, wow, look at that, All-Ireland final, the way he thumped that ball over the bar. I mean, they had two unbelievable seasons, Aaron. But just come back to just Hart's era there, right? And I'm just looking at players, right? Morgan was always, you know, hit and miss, and, you know, get involved with the crowd. And you, and I think at times maybe his effect in the team might have been a negative in terms of coming up hitting frees. You know, remember the famous day in Balbuffet where, you know, he got on to the crowd after kicking one, then he missed him at four. It became a real pantomime. Like, but his season slodding as well. Another player just wasn't doing it, Aaron, wasn't on the team early in the season, didn't play in the league. He came on sub, I think, in a couple of games, didn't start. Matty Donnelly was another guy. I know he didn't have the best of games yesterday, in fairness. He had a tough battle with Cohen inside. Peter Hart was another one. Those players, you know, McCurry, of course, had left the squad and come back. See, those five players there, compared with what I've been watching of Tyrone the last few years, they're like completely different players. And I know people talk about the first year and the bounce and the management and that, but it's as if a complete cloud has been lifted. And then that surge energy from those guys that they're obviously top players, Aaron, but they weren't really doing it. For me, looking at them, they weren't, in terms of the talent they had, they weren't getting nowhere near what they should have been. And now they've just gone to their optimum. I mean, it's been phenomenal what Logan and Duher has got out of this team, because you would think over the course of the season that the squad, the players they have, everybody has excelled.
You're spot on, like, and you can't call into question what Mickey Hart did for Throne, you know, in terms of winning at minor, under 21, the three at senior. But from someone, you know, I didn't care whether they're winning or losing all Ireland's, but if in this game, if you've been asked your opinion, I thought he was completely underselling what he had at his disposal. He wasn't getting the best out of them. He was, like, whenever he won three All-Irelands, now, granted, he didn't have the quality of your Stephen O'Neill, your Mulligans, your Peter Canavans, your Brian McGuigan, generational players. But the style of football that he won All-Irelands with, he went completely away from it altogether. And what actually, one thing that stood out to me the other day was, you think of, he made a comment quite recently on BBC where he tried to say that a forward someone should never have to win their own ball. And him and McConville had a bit of a Barney on TV over this. And to me, that's the greatest load of nonsense. This is a physical contact sport. You must win your own ball. If you can't win your own ball, you're not an intercounty player. You're a club footballer and a low level one at that. But what stood out to me was, think Ryan or Philly Jordan coming in off the Cusick Stansted, long diagonal ball into Mulligan, shields off Galvin, and Canavan wheels around, rolls the ball into the bottom corner in 05 to win them in All-Ireland. That long ball, the man ahead of the ball who's capable of winning it, Jordan, who is willing to take a risk to put the ball in, similar to Carl Lacey did for Donegal in 2012, and Myler did the exact same thing the other day, just lifted his head up, lofted it in, 50-50 ball, high percentage, you know, or a low percentage that something was going to come off it. McKenna gets a flick in it, or McShane gets a flick in it, into the back of the net, Throne's All-Ireland champions. There's no comeback. That wouldn't have happened for two reasons. Myler wouldn't have lifted his head to kick the ball, and Callum McShane wouldn't have been in there. Do you know, so what he has been, what Duher and Logan have been able to do has been absolutely top class. Like you said, absolutely re-energies Sludden, Peter Hart, Kieran McGeary, and Darren McCurry in particular, and put the belief into Con Kilpatrick, to Brian Kennedy, that you belong at this level, you're capable of performing and delivering for us. And what they did was, they kept playing them and playing them and playing them. And the more, McCurry was always looking at the sideline. He knew his number was up. Any mistake, any wide, he was looking at the sideline. And you know yourself, Brendan, as an inside forward, there's nothing worse because you strive on confidence.
Yes.
And if you're always thinking, I'm being hooked here, you'll never deliver. You'll never attack the ball the way you should do. You'll never take a man on with conviction. But what that management team has been able to do with those guys and the self-belief they have given them, they've been repaid in spades. And the worry, well, not the worrying thing is, but the reality is they'll just get better because there's some guys who have been underperforming for them this year, but the ability is there. And I'm thinking McKenna, McShane hasn't been good whenever he comes on. He does look, granted he got the goal, but realistically other than the goal, he was fumbling balls. He was losing them. He missed his free kick. He was the same in the semi-final, even though he ended up with 1-3. He lost, you know, a lot of close contact balls. But he'll get even better. You know, Canavan, is going to get even better at this level. So that's the bar that everyone else is going to have to meet.
It's a bit scary for the rest of us, Aaron. Aaron, just on that, Hart will go down as one of the greatest managers in history, of course. I mean, the record's unreal, but up until 2008, that's when the high points for me stopped, you know, in terms of that Tyrone team that you said that came with such a kind of an attitude and a freshness and an energy. You know, you think back to 18, the way they sat their cell and just let Dublin pick them off. You know, that's not the Tyrone team. And I think what you have now, and particularly yesterday there, you look at some of Morgan's kickouts when he could have went short and he still tried to get, you know, the clip out the pitch or right out the wing when there was a handier kick on, the bravery of that. And at times McKernan and McNabee and Hampsey were all one on one at the back because Tyrone decided they really hit Mayo around the pitch. They stopped that deep running coming. They were willing to, you know, leave players one on one at the back, which was very brave of them. But it was a bravery that paid off because they trusted their corner and the full backs. That we don't see that often now, that they were going to be isolated one on one, but they stood up to the case. So tactically, there was a lot of bravery from Tyrone. I guess that's a throwback to Hart's early championship victories and early All Irelands, that Tyrone were brave. They just seemed to have lost that bit of bravery, but it certainly was back in Saturday in spades.
You're right, Brendan, and that's absolutely spot on analysis, because that's what Tyrone are at their best. Whenever they're in your face, making contact, being nuisance to themselves, getting their turnovers, not dropping back in mass, you know, and trying to organise different blocks and that there. That's not them. They're in your face footballers. They like confrontation. They like playing with high intensity. And if you're constantly turning your back and running to get back into position, that's not them. You know, and they have the man markers. All a top defender wants is a 50-50 opportunity to get a hand in at the ball. He just wants a bit of pressure on the ball that's been passed into him. You know, he wants the boys out the field to give them a chance. And if you said, it wasn't the case of the three boys, yes, they were left one-on-one, but that's the manager saying, you're good enough to do a job in him. But the inside defenders, all they want is a bit of heat on that there ball coming in. No easy passes, nobody been there free that they have time to get their head up and pick a ball that's dropping into space. And that takes trust within the whole group and the whole environment. It takes a massive buy-in, but by God, they got it. And they've got it within 9 months of new management coming in.
Yes, yes. And Aaron, you mentioned McCurry there. I was laughing after. Did you see his interview? Rightly, man of the match, 1-4, a phenomenal season. And you know, again, you could put him in the running for Footballer of the Year. But he called himself that's the Dazzler, he says. Did you have a nickname on yourself that you would have quoted there, getting many of your man of the matches, no?
I did not indeed. I was never cool enough to have one.
That wouldn't go well across McGlenn. That type of carry on. That's the Dazzler, he said. I had to laugh at that one.
But that's a boy playing with confidence. You know, there's nothing going to faze him. Obviously, there's a lid needs to be kept on that as you go along, and you can't drift too far away from what has got them where it is. And that in itself is a challenge for management, you know, in terms of next year. But I would say there's probably still another 4 or 5 days good partying, and them boys, they'll not be worrying about next year for a while. It'd be the least of their worries.
Yeah, I'm sure next year there'll be more a worry for the likes of Kieran McGinney and Declan Bunner and the Banty, thinking, right, how are we going to take on this Tyrone squad, Aaron? I think that could be the more the people that's having a look in the Ulster Championship next year. Even Rory Gallagher, I suppose, will be having a tilt at it as well. But I'll tell you what, Tyrone have certainly stepped up the bar, and the rest of Ulster is going to have to play catch-up now.
They are, Brendan, and there was one thing, I suppose, prior to coming on here, like when me and you were having the conversation about it, is that Kerry didn't ask enough questions of them. And let's not take away from them. Like, we're being extremely complimentary in what they've done, and they deserve full credit. But again, I suppose, where we didn't look in-depthly enough at Mayo, Kerry didn't ask enough questions. They kept doing the same thing over and over again, going short with a kick out, carrying the ball up the field. And Mayo did the same at the weekend, and that was very disappointing, where they just relied solely on a running game. Where if you think back to 2013, whenever Mayo beat them in the championship, and particularly 2016, the big thing that Mayo did at that stage was Alan Dillon wasn't getting on for Mayo at all in 2016. Justin McMahon was playing as the sweeper, holding around the D area. and they put Dylan on, and he just ran the 45 from one wing to another continuously in Croke Park that day. But what it done was it allowed Mayo to mix things up, where they had a kicking game then, that the ball was able to be foot passed from defence to him. He was given a quality ball to the inside lane, and then their runners were coming steaming at pace, couldn't be stopped, and they were putting the ball over the bar from the edge of the D, where is your scoring zone for every team within county football. They didn't do that at all at the weekend, and that's something that I was very disappointed. I thought they would have learned from Kerry's mistakes, that to think you're going to run from minute one to 75 or whatever it is against that Tyrone team, you're playing into their hands. So that's something that all the counties across the country, but particularly the ones in Ulster, it's all well and good, you know, all being fit and all being strong and having our good ball carriers, but you need to mix it up. You need options, and you need an outlet to foot past the ball, because like you said, everyone's talking about Tyrone not being good enough around the middle of the field. Why did they keep going long against Kerry? You know, it wasn't working. Same the other day, it wasn't going to work for them. Look at the second goal. Long kick out, absolutely bypassed everyone. Kilpatrick catches it. The runners come, the next thing, two fist passes later, ball's in the back of the net. You know, because the varied things, you know, they were able to go short if it was on, but he still went long, even though it was a low percentage realistically for them. They still kept going for it, and it paid off for them. So that's something that all the counties in Ulster are really going to have to work on, to make sure that they have both options, and that you're asking different questions and just not probing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. That's it then. All back to the drawing board for the other 31 counties, and see if we can make a shape of it again next year. Listen, Aaron, great to have you on the show this evening. Thanks for joining us with your views on Tyrone's epic All-Ireland victory on Saturday.
No problem. Delighted to be there. Thank you.
Yeah, great catching up with Aaron Kieran there. Of course, huge celebrations across in Tyrone. A phenomenal season for them, and a massive crowd out for the homecoming. And we actually caught up with two of their players, two players that that live along the border here, Owen Rose, Cahill McShane, and Ahi Arns, Ronan McNamee. And here's what they had to say.
I had like an unbelievable day, and yesterday, massive day for the county and for that team, but great feeling personally, and for the Oiler boys, I suppose, it's massive feeling, like, but getting over the line, because we were always thereabouts for a while, but never really saw it out to an extent. But just, it's a strange feeling, because you're overcome with emotion, and you see a wild lot, like now, for instance, comparing it to 2018 when you're in the receiving end of losing a final. It's, I think it probably moulded a lot of the players, like, but it's an unbelievable feeling, unbelievable, and it's class.
And that disappointment must have driven you boys that were involved in 2018, and you had to go out there and you had to put that right.
You know, inside the circle it's there, but it's just, I suppose, getting it out to an extent, that in certain games, getting the best performances that you can, that you have inside you, to get them out. And it's easy saying it, but it's an unbelievable group, like, and it's probably as strong as it's been for a long, long time, like. And the bench is, like, so obviously there's a starting 15, and then there's a 26, and then there's a panel of maybe 35, 40 boys that are absolutely killing each other when it comes to training to get on to a 26. So it's like, there's an unbelievable standard, and it's just class to be involved, to be part of it, and to sort of set a bit of history for Tyrone again, you know.
And you're standing at the heart of that defence. What happened in Killarney was a sort of a watershed, and you had to change things around. You must be proud of those boys around you, that they conceded one goal in the entire championship after that.
Well, like, Killarney, to be fair, Killarney was one of them games that sort of set a stall for us, that we had a, we knew we weren't that bad, and Kerry are obviously an unbelievable side, like, but we knew they weren't that much better than us either. But on the other side of it, we weren't that bad, and the scoreline obviously reflects certain games, and it sort of tells the story on its own. But we knew we could match a man for man, and obviously we did match a man for man. Certain games you go out and you know that, like, if over the noughties, like, Tyrone played Kerry at 03, 05, 08 and had their number, and then there was sort of this stigma over the teams that were coming after that they could never match it, and this team sort of nailed it. You know, that they had to rethink things, and you had to answer the questions that were asked to you all the time, and the questions were being asked all the time, and you wanted to answer them, and it's not well easy answering them at times, but We did answer them. This year we answered them massively. Turned the tables on his head completely, and it's just, it's class. It really is class.
I'm just wondering, I think the management come in and they give you that freshness and maybe a new way of thinking, some new ideas to get things going again.
Aye, like, it just was different. It's not that the personnel changed. The personnel, like, 90% of the players were there, stayed there. But, like, obviously a different voice and different ideas. And, like, obviously Mickey had, like, set a stall out for throwing for a long time. And, like, we weren't a million miles away in 2019. And probably could have, if we got over the line against Kerry, we might have run the Dubs close. But that's a story in its own. But it's not a case that, like, that man set a stall for throwing for 20 years. You know, when, like, Fergal and Brian have taken it up, and fingers crossed for the next 20 years it's going to be the same, and they'll just keep going and going and going, you know.
Well, to be honest, it's just unbelievable. I remember obviously growing up that, you know, just seeing the sea of white and red, and maybe for years there we not having as much success, maybe the fans were just needing today or needing yesterday, and needing today to celebrate in style. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to come in there and see the people that's put in so much effort to come out and support us today. And, you know, I feel very proud to, you know, represent Tyrone all the time, and it's always for the fans. They travel all around Ireland to support us all the time, and it's just days to get. You really do it for the fans.
And you could see how hungry they were. 13 years waiting. They got the taste of All Ireland's back in the noughties, and they felt they should have them more frequently. They had to wait a long time, and they're so relieved and joyous to get that.
That's it. And I think you can just see it out there. They're absolutely buzzing. I know when we went on stage there, the reception was unbelievable, and it's just it's class to see. And it's just, as I say, that sea of white and red. But I guess, yeah, you know, obviously we want to win more All Irelands and whatnot. They haven't been as popular as the last few years, but obviously yesterday was a fantastic day for the group, for everyone involved, for the fans, for families, just everyone in Tyrone. And we're just very proud to have got over the line.
A great day for the players as well, and a real squad effort, including yourself. I mean, Tyrone have an incredible bench, and that's really what has swung it in the past few games. The likes of yourself and Dara and Ben coming off the bench. You've been out for injured for what, 18 months, and yeah, you've had to work very hard to get back, and then you've had to settle for an impact subs route. It's something you've had to get used to, but it has really worked for the team.
Well, that's it. It's definitely different than starting, obviously, the game. You're coming off from warm-up, and you have to sort of chill out and relax again and settle yourself down. But, no, listen, I prepared mentally just to try and, you know, really make an impact on that role coming on as a sub. I do believe it was very close to maybe getting the nod to, you know, maybe start at the weekend. But we went with the impact role, and then, you know, I was very happy with how I did it. Come on, and first touch, get the goal. But I guess it's just everyone's chomping at the bit, as you say there, 45 or like a panel of 35, 40 men, and they're all chomping at the bit. And sadly, some men didn't get the talk out yesterday and all the rest, but they're so, so important to what we're about. The positivity that they brought around the camp all weekend was brilliant to see, and it drove us boys on, and we're just so, so proud. But I guess over lockdown for myself, there was a few dark days and a few question marks around maybe, you know, what would I come back to play with Tyrone or whatever, because that's just facts. And I've worked really hard, and very, very proud to be back playing.
From your own point of view, coming back here to play, obviously during the championship, that was a big moment. You know, is that even more maybe important than yesterday for you to be back on the field again?
I think it is. As I say, there was a lot of question marks over lockdown, and I remember various different, you know, just poor moments that I was just really, you know, just obviously thought, listen, you just didn't know what was going to be the case. There's a lot of doubts, but I just had to work hard, stay positive, and, you know, my family, my friends, my girlfriend Kate, and they all helped me massively, and along with physios and different important people to me. And, you know, as I say, I always believed I would get back, and I kept working, and it was a great buzz to get back in against obviously Cavan. There was maybe hope that I would get involved in the league, but that didn't really happen. But listen, I always say things, you know, these things happen for a reason. So I'm just delighted with it, and, you know, no better feeling to be out representing Tyrone and representing Owen Rose and bringing Sam Maguire back.
And now we switch our attention to ladies football in the county. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former county star, now Highland Radio analyst, Maureen O'Donnell. How are you this evening, Mo?
Not too bad, Brendan. How's you?
You're keeping well. Mo, listen, we were lining you up to talk to us about the, particularly about the senior championship kicking off this weekend, but it didn't happen then. There was a few games postponed, was there?
Yeah, listen, hey, there's not a lot to report, to be honest, in the senior championship at the minute. Round one happened a few weeks ago. You know yourself, Terman, Glenfinnan, St Osborne, Clannam, Avil, they're the top teams in the senior championship this year. St Os came up from intermediate last year, beating St Junans in the final, you know, but they haven't been able to field the team in the first round. They were playing Terman, so Terman got the points there. Glenfinnan beat Buncrana that weekend, and Mavil had a bye. And this weekend, Glenfinnan were to play Mavil. Buncrana were to play St Noel's, but again, those two games were off, Brendan, so would have been a top clash between... I don't know, to be honest with you, what's happening at the minute. I think COVID's probably taken over, and, you know, I suppose they're still very strict on that, you know, with players. Anybody that comes down, then all the games have to be cancelled. So I'd say with St Noel's, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to field the team this year, Brendan. Buncrana were due to play in there at the weekend. Didn't happen, so that might be the fault for that, you know. St Noel's are going to struggle big time, I suppose, a big step up from intermediate to senior, you know. Maybe on the intermediate championship, you know, you have two groups there, so it's a very interesting championship. You have Neave, Orif, Annet, Mulford, Ardran, Convoy in group one, and then you've Cairndonna, St Junans, Killybegs and Erua. Favourites maybe in the first group there, Neave, Orif, you know, won the junior championship a number of years back there, so they'll be very good contenders for that in group one. And then St Junans, as I said, haven't been beat the last four finals, and intermediate will be looking to push on and won the intermediate this year. But they, however, are in a group with Erua, and they're very up and coming team at the minute, Brendan. They have a very good minor side there, and their under-16s just won their division as well during the week, or last week, the week before. So
it's all happening at Erua. Their men's team is coming back as well, Mo. So a lot of good work happening down in Ballyshannon.
Yeah, it's actually great to see some of them teams that would have been really good contenders and high contenders years ago, you know, back in the 1990s, if we might go back that far. But it's good to see them coming back into it again, you know. And it's really, really good there when you look at the Intermediate Championship. You have 8 or 9 teams there, so that's what you'd like to see at senior level. So hopefully we're going to see more teams coming up into it and become more competitive. Because, as I say, Terman, Glenfinnan, Mavil, Terman, I mean, since 2010 they've been in 7 Ulster finals. Glenfinnan knocked them, I suppose, out of the county championship 3 times over the last maybe 11 years. So Glenfinnan are, you know, very good, and they won the county championship last year, so they're going to look to retain it this year. Mavil haven't won the county championship since 2008, and in that particular year they appeared in the Ulster final. So like those top 3 teams, you know, will be looking to get through the semi-final stages. On semi-finals are 10th October, Brendan, and then the 17th, the final, are due to be played. So we're hoping to get all them games played before then, you know.
Good. And listen, Mo, outside of Glenfinnan and Terman, do you think that the title's more than likely still, they're the two strongest teams? Would you have any pick between the two of them also?
Hey, listen, you know, Glenfinnan were very, very good last year. As I say, Terman haven't been at the top for so long, you know, it's very hard to maintain that hunger at that stage, you know. So, you know, and Glenfinnan have been training hard all year. They'll be they'll be in high contention for the final again this year. And come here, Mavil will never be too far away. As I say, St Noel's find it hard to get a team out there. And Buncrana have been up a senior now for a few years, and they're coming along, but it just goes to show you have to compete at that level, to stay up at that level and compete at that level to improve, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, listen, two brilliant teams, if we've seen Glenfinnan and Terman, you know, and as you said, you know, right across from an Ulster perspective even, you know, that's the level that they're at. But just thinking about teams coming up from intermediate, I mean, the story of Meath this year, you know, from any side that thinks, right, we want to step up to senior. You mentioned a few of them there coming up and trying to find their feet. But Meath did more than find their feet and went all the way in a remarkable championship, and really done one of a style.
Yeah, listen, come here. Meath this year were phenomenal, Brendan, to be honest with you. Like, having won intermediate, and they won their Division 2 final this year, and just a very consistent, well-balanced outfit, you know. It looks like a team that are training together 7 nights a week. So in terms of ladies football, it's absolutely fantastic to see, because it inspires teams that maybe are on the edge or on the fringe, that they can push ahead, that they can go ahead and beat the big teams, and that anything's possible, you know. So it's really, really positive, Brendan, you know, for ladies football. But what a team, and what a performance on the day.
They broke the stranglehold of the Dubs as well, which I suppose from their near neighbours. Would there been much rivalry to them previous? How long were Meath down? Because they used to be in the senior, weren't they, Mo?
Maybe a long time ago. To say that's their first All Ireland senior senior final, and interestingly enough too, Brendan, they hadn't played Dublin all year, so you know, they'd been watching very, very closely by the sidelines, you know, and had played Cork twice. Were unlucky not to beat them earlier on in the year, and then of course, as you know well, they beat them in the semi final there as well. So you know, listen, come here, the Dubs, I suppose, have been at the top. We spoke about that. Have been at the top for a while. It's very hard. They were going for five in a row. Very hard to keep that hunger level among players, you know, when you're winning. And you're coming up against a team that winning that elusive trophy means everything to them. So there's way much more behind the team as well. And they were on the momentum of a lot of great wins and great victories throughout the year. So, you know, and I think that proved on the day that they were too good for Dublin.
We hope now, Mo, that the things sort themselves out in the senior championship and we get things kicked along, and we'll get a few updates for you as time goes on across all the championships.
Yeah, listen, hopefully things will take off, you know. I suppose that's the probably downfall, having a lot of the games at the end of the year, the back end coming out close to October, November, you know, where they're going to try and get run out Ulster Championship and Senior Championship. You have to get them games played by a certain date. So it's looking like some of them games are going to have to be played midweek, and then you're talking about girls that are away at college and stuff, so the teams will be a bit lighter. So I don't know how it's going to work, but I know that they will have to get those games played probably before the semi-final stages on the 10th of October, Brent. So listen, hopefully I'll have more to report for you
no problem,
in the next coming weeks.
Yep, we might need the lights on soon, Mo, but listen, we'll hopefully get it done. Listen, Mo, thanks for that. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Not a bother, Brendan. Thank you soon.
Right, folks, that's a wrap again. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing here, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. Of course, to my guests, Brendan Kilcoyne, Aaron Kiernan and Mo O'Donnell. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.